Greetings and a warm welcome to Red Ice Radio. My name is Henrik. You can follow us on redicecreations.com for more radio, news, TV programs and other video and film material. Today, Sonia Barrett returns to the program to discuss Celebrity Conduits and the Cosmic Timer. Sonia Barrett is the author and publisher of Sovereign Mind Magazine and Sovereign Mind Radio. She has authored two books, The Holographic Canvas and The Cosmic Game in 3D. Sonia's writings explore the possibility of immortal or physical existence beyond the common view of time, the potential for a natural ascension into consciousness and the communized design of reality. We begin on the death of Whitney Houston, a good example of the predatory music industry, and Sonia argues how megastars are intentionally weaved into the fabric of our reality. They are being used as a conduit to absorb energy. We move on from there to later talk about the cosmic timer, evolutionary parameters, and the rebooting of the system. Welcome back, Sonia Barrett. Good to talk to you again. It's a lot of things been happening, of course. You've been keeping busy on some of these aspects, obviously, we're going to talk about some of the new stuff. But how have you been overall, though, since we last talked with you?
Oh, I've been good. You know, it's growth, which is what we're all doing. Lots of growing. Lots of just discoveries, and of course everything I do is my own curiosity, just digging and seeing more and more and more behind the veil. So that's what I've been doing, and we'll talk about the documentary, I guess, eventually that I'm working on, and so on and so forth, articles, just stuff. I'm like a busy two-year-old.
Well, time goes by, let me tell you. You've been doing some talks and stuff like that as well, so... obviously, lots of things happening. I know, though, here at the outset, you wanted to just talk briefly a little bit about the Whitney Houston situation. This is a interesting thing that happened, and of course, as always, the obsessive celebrity culture that we have, that we are just inundated with this. And I guess unless you've been hiding under a rock the last few days, you don't know what's going on. But what's your take on this, Sonia? What do you want to talk about there?
Well, I think I may have discussed a couple of these things before on the show, I think when after Michael Jackson's death. But I think what I looked at, because I looked at it, I had to examine my own self as well. And I noticed my response to it. I did feel a little emotionally triggered by her death. There's almost a sense of, there's a sense of unbelievability. And just some sort of emotional triggering. And so I really started to kind of question that, because I noticed it with Michael as well. And certain celebrities, you know, normally you're not triggered. Okay, they're gone. But some people tend to trigger us more than other people. And it doesn't matter whether you listen to them all the time or not. So anyway, over the years, and even more recently since the situation with Whitney Houston's death, I started to look at things even a little bit deeper as to why or what's really going on. And again, I started to see where there are some specific celebrities, and I think the ones that represent a superstardom, that I started to figure that it's like they represent some sort of like a conduit or portal or some sort of power system, and they each have a massive fan base, and I started to look at the energy, you know, because this is all energy, and I think I look at everything scientifically, so I don't look at anything from conspiracy standpoint necessarily, but I look at everything as energy output, energy input, output, some sort of energy processing, and so I'm looking at how I responded energetically, what I was feeling from within myself. And before I go any further, let me back up and say that what we have to recognize is that everything about our reality, everything in our reality is part of the fabric or the construct or the outline of what reality looks like for us, what represents our reality, even if you're not engaging on a daily basis with these certain things or people. We have to understand that these people, like everything else, is literally woven into the fabric of your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they get pulled away, your reality, that construct that you've had, that fabric that you've had, reality, is altered. It's ripped. And so depending on how big the celebrity is, depending on, you know, whatever the energetic output has been, that's how I think we're affected by it. When you grow up with a certain celebrity, or you're born in, you know, you're born and the celebrity has always been huge since you were born, they're a part of the fabric of your reality. Everything, everybody, just every condition that you can think of that you interact with in some form or another is what makes up the construct of your world. And so when they're pulled away, it alters something there, and people are jolted in one way or another mm-hmm. by this. What mm-hmm. what I see is that we don't recognize that there is this networking system. You're it's like you're interwoven. It's like there's an energetic weaving with these people, and it's done for. It's done intentionally, which is why they are packaged into these identities and images. If you notice each of them, I'm talking especially the ones that are in a superstardom position, when we see them or even when we hear their names, there's an identity that automatically goes along with the individual. Whatever your perception is, it obviously it's been created for you as to whether, oh, this individual is very sophisticated. This individual is, oh, like Lady Gaga, just absolutely crazy. Whatever it is, there's a package that's created.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we are, we're interacting with that. But those packages represent coding. They're packaged in a way that represents a specific kind of energy. And so people are drawn according to these various kinds of energies that these people represent. And I really think that there's some way that energy is being harnessed from the fans. I really think that people's energy somehow is being harnessed no differently than they're figuring out how to use the human body temperature to power up buildings and the energy from humans to power up equipment. I think we have to look at that. And fear is also used as it's an energy supply. So I think that there is more going on here than just power and control. Yes, and it leads into the secret societies and so on. It definitely does. But I think there's more going on here than meets the eye, why these people draw so many people. And when they die, people are so affected.
These are musical archetypes, if you ask me. They definitely channel some kind of energy. They're superstars. They're put before us as such. And I think some managers and behind-the-scenes people behind these mega stars as they're sold to us are aware of this. Others might not be. But whatever is going on there, I think you're right, Sonia. I think that the masses are projecting, you know, certain psychic components, psychological components, both of themselves and other unconscious processes, onto these megastars, and therefore it becomes kind of charged up, of course. But where do you think that this energy, if there is an energy exchange there, or an energy grabbing, I guess, from the audience to the star, and if they channel this in some way, who's using that? Where is that going, do you think?
I really, yes, I do. I think they act as a portal. Sort of a portal, some sort of channel then to which that energy does go back to. It is a vampiring of that energy, of not just when we say energy, we're looking at life force energy. Especially for the younger people, the energy is different for the younger people as opposed to the older people. And we can talk about that also later on, more about that. But I think that energy is going to Yes, I'm going to have to say, whatever some of these groups are, I mean, you can talk about even, you know, Clive Davis is a huge, he's huge. I mean, and I don't get into the secret society aspect as much, you know, whether they're Illuminati or the Freemasonry. However, I do know within my own self that these groups of individuals exist and do harness and this kind of energy, which is why they are at the head of many of these groups. It's not just the entertainment industry, but because we're speaking of the entertainment industry, I think that this power goes back to some sort of source that has to do with these individuals that sit at that are at the core of running what we call our world, or the overall reality. So I think that it is going back in that direction. Why fear is also used. It's all fuel, just like we're used to work these jobs and you know, work for these companies. It's the energy output. It's what, you know, what we can supply. We are suppliers. If you're not one of them, you are a supplier of some form of fuel, some form of energy to be used in one way or another. And so this is what I see, that there is a bigger picture here. It's not just money and power and control. What is that energy being used for? And if you notice also, Heinrich, these big guys, they seem to live a heck of a long time. They do.
Yeah,
they don't.
It's true.
You don't hear of them dying. It, like the individuals through which this energy supply is coming through, these entertainers, they die at a younger age. They very seldom, especially these days, live to an older age. They really don't. But these guys, they seem to live for a very long time, and you never really hear of them dying of any particular thing. The old age eventually. But there is something else, I think, going on here, and it's being used in some way for some sort of sustaining of life force, or consciousness, or brain stimulation, activation for something else. And I don't think that this is being far-fetched. I'm being far-fetched at all. I think that we have to look at this, everything again, from science and understand that everything is energy and that there is always this competitive edge of some people to try to bypass or pierce this veil or this reality of limitation that we live in. And so I think that's what's going on.
Interesting. I was just looking a little bit about Clive Davis. I didn't know that he was the one who kind of brought Whitney Houston out there. But, you know, first of all, you're right. I mean, he's, what, 79 now? He's not retiring. They're eating, you know, organic food, I bet you. They know what to do. They know how to take care of themselves in some cases, and they just keep going while the artists in many cases are washed up, and most of them are joining the 27 Club as well. You know, a lot of these are really used and abused people in that sense. It's really sad, both the movie industry and the music.
Well, their life force.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Their life force is drained. They're depleted, and that's why they do end up so troubled. And there is no coincidence why so many of them end up so troubled, because you're packaged. You're not you. They don't even know who they are anymore. They're packaged to be a specific identity, some sort of specific coding. You know, I won't even get into that about whether, you know, Whitney Houston, I don't think that this was an accident. I mean, that's a whole other story, but I really don't think so. Mm-hmm. And if you look at images that they would show on, like, Yahoo, Clive Davis's name is always there. If you look behind her head, it's always you see Clive or Clive Davis. They make a point of showing that all the time.
A little handler behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye, and I think that you know, even I did do my own little process that I utilize to really disconnect myself from whatever that energy was that I felt was a connective point between, you know, for myself, Whitney Houston, because it doesn't matter how much I know, I'm here in this body, and I'm subject to some things that I might not even be aware of. I'm becoming more and more aware of how this interwoven, this energetic interwoven process is of what we define as reality and how we're wired into it. And so, yes, I think when you're aware of this, I think, yes, there is a disconnection process that you need to make. Because even after they're dead, there is still whatever it is that the frequency those people represented, there is still some sort of tie-in and connection with them.
You bet. And by the way, while we're speaking about that, I just wanted to bring out, well, first of all, you know, Clive Davis, he was a member of, well, he graduated from New York University College of Arts and Science. He was a member of Phi Beta Kappa at that time. This is back in 1953, and this is part of the Masonic secret society structure, by the way, just as a side note. But furthermore, just this idea of energy and how they use this. We've seen how certain aspects of music and movie industry have started to kind of go downhill a little bit. And some of these really, really greedy people, they want to make more money, they want to maximize. And one thing that was a really interesting clue in all this to me was that I think it was Sony, BMG first, that actually raised the prices. Just, we're talking like, I don't know, half an hour to an hour after the announcement of Whitney Houston's death, they raised her album prices about 30% right away. And Apple was criticized for this. And these are vultures of the corporate structure that are now feeding on the, you know, lukewarm body. Excuse the, you know, the language there, but this is what it is. This is, so even on that level, they're generating money, that they're maximizing their profits from this instead of, as you would think they would do, they were like, this would be released in a sense. That's my approach to all this. If someone passes away, you should venerate them by kind of releasing their material to the world almost in a sense. But this is the other way around. Totally sick in my opinion.
Well, yeah. But again, we have to keep remembering that the majority is not viewed, we're not viewed as people of emotional value, not in the sense that you value me and I value you, but as a some sort of substance, something to be used. And I think that with the entertainers, like Whitney Houston, she was a moneymaker. I mean, she was just a moneymaker, a huge moneymaker, and I think she was hard to control. I think that there were challenges there with controlling her, and I think when she came back from that the whole drug scene there, I think that that was an opportunity. They were trying to revive who she was to put her back in the spotlight. Because she had such a huge influence. Not only was she a moneymaker, but she drew, like Michael and so many others, the Beatles, she drew a massive fan base. And so after a while, some people are no longer usable. So you have to bring in fresh blood, and here comes Jennifer Hudson.
Literally, yeah.
Literally. Yeah. And here comes Jennifer Hudson, which they seem to have been grooming for a little while. They've slimmed her down. She's been in the making. So I looked at all of that, how she managed to come out, and she did the singing. I didn't watch the Grammys, but I knew she was going to be performing Whitney's song. The cancellation of Chaka Khan, instead of Chaka Khan singing with her, Jennifer Hudson sang by herself. Then there was a picture that they put up, I think this morning I saw it. It was a picture of Jennifer Hudson with Whitney Houston's daughter exactly a year ago, February 11th, the same date a year ago, together at the Clive Davis pre-Grammy Awards. Together, just Hudson and Whitney's daughter, and February 11th, a year later, the mother is gone. But there are so many things that you start looking at, and it's like, okay, nothing is just done suddenly. So many of these things are done, set up in advance.
Oh, they long-term planners.
Absolutely.
Of course. And millions,
they're getting
billions
older.
Involved here. And hence,
oh, my God.
Yes. They know what they're doing, and they know they have the next spot ready. They know who's next up and coming, and no one new really can get into the industry of music and at movies, you know, from the point of view of Hollywood, L.A. anyway, and New York.
It's a Matrix. It's a totally separate Matrix system, and I think people need to really recognize that it's a completely. It's some sort of club you get into, and you sign on the dotted line. And when you sign on the dotted line, you sign your life force away. You say, this is what I'm signing up for. I might not know completely, but I'm going to make you a star. And there are different levels of stardom at that point. But look at the majority of these people who end up troubled, and how many they supposedly died of drug overdose. Mm-hmm. I think some people can't be controlled, and after a while they just can't be controlled. You can't deal with them. So I think that there's so much more here than meets the eye, but it's own separate, unique reality that is then projected onto this reality out here, and it's people are influenced in, you know, this reality that is not, we are not part of the entertainment system, but you are used. So there is this connection. There is this output-input transmitter and receiving process that's going on between those two realities. And then we can take it right back into government and educational system. It's all, they all work together.
That's right. Well, that's a good point. It's Keepers of the Matrix, as one of your latest articles is entitled. And this, just looking at the movie and the music industry as a microcosm version of this, I think is a good example. I just want one more point here on this then before we leave that. They couldn't put her back into the spotlight of sorts. Her comeback mm-hmm. kind of failed. So the question is, mm-hmm. did they ask, how do we make more money on this? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to make a lot of money now, I mean, because of everything that has to be released. All the albums and, you know, all the things that were never released before, they're going to make money. Not only that, you get to make money on stuff that was never released, and there's a potential of trying to bring in fresh blood to try to replace this individual that is evidently not going to be of use anymore. Her voice is not the same. And again, I think that she was hard to handle. Because I heard her on other interviews in the past, and she totally disliked Hollywood. I mean, those were the words from her mouth. So I think that she was challenging to handle at the same time. And then as she got older, she became even more challenging to handle. They wanted her to be the sophisticated image, and she was. She was a diva. But there was another side to her where she was just totally this wild child kind of thing, and that wasn't the package that they were trying to put together. And you look at Jennifer Hudson, they've tried to create that package, trying to make her look very sophisticated. There is a refining that they've been doing with her.
Yeah, they groom them straight out of the gates, in a sense.
From
very young age in many regards. It's kind of creepy to watch some of these, you know, smaller musical talents come onto the scene, and the whole life they live in there, and there's so much, you know, going on there as well, Sonia, in terms of how brutal it is. This is switching over to the movie industry briefly, but even that story of Corey Feldman that came out here about 6 months ago, he's talking mm-hmm. about how he's been molested by big mm-hmm. Hollywood moguls, the presidents, you know, mm-hmm. high ups, or at least protected by those people, and again, people have to, you know, ask themselves who are these people who let this to go on. And his buddy there, the other Corey Haim,
he killed himself,
and look
right.
at Macaulay Culkin, whatever his name is, the mm-hmm. same thing. He was potentially abused, and he's just kind of going downhill and looks really bad, a lot of drugs and things.
Yeah.
So these are literally people that are squeezed out of their life force almost.
Oh yeah, they like an orange. They've sucked them dry, and then when they sucked them dry, we don't have any more use for you. And after the person has been completely damaged, we don't have any use for you anymore. And then they move on to fresh blood. I mean, you know, we look at the hip hop community and we can see, you know, the Kanye West, the P. Diddy, the Jay-Z, and, you know, these are the more, I think, prominent faces that we tend to see in hip hop. And we see the cockiness of these people. There's a certainty that they seem to express because they know that they've signed on the dotted line, and it's like whatever you've been guaranteed, you're so certain of it that you're content. Again, these people are used the same way as these channels, and look at the crowd, look at what they draw. That's a lot of energy from a lot of young people.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Look at the life force from that.
Yeah,
but the music is another aspect of it. The music, the science of the music, the rhythm of the music. It doesn't even matter to the young people about the lyrics. The music and the way the brain responds to the beat and how they write the music with specific rhythmic patterns in it, to occur at various times, the melody. All of those things are a science.
Exactly.
In terms of how they do this, and so these people are responding to it. Have you ever felt that though, Heinrich? Where I know I've been driving down the street, and the music is playing, and it's something I don't even like, and somebody pulls up, and inside you can feel yourself moving to the rhythm of this thing that you're really not interested in. So there, it's amazing though, but if you pay attention, you find yourself, your body, there's something in you because, you know, we're rhythmic. The body is music itself.
I think I've in some level managed to, I try to be, well, first of all, I seldomly even put on the radio anymore. I can't, because there's a basic, why in that, and that's, I can't stand it. I can't stand the emanation of the music, the vibe, the attitude, the lyrics are incredibly bizarre and foul and stupid, and I mean, I can't even begin to define it. So from my point of view, no, I cringe when I hear most
music.
Not from listening
to the music, not from the radio. We're talking just somebody driving down the street. Well, here in L.A., you know, people have got their windows out. I mean, they're driving on the street.
Right,
you
right.
can't help it. They pull up next
there.
To
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
yeah you practically, they have it so loud, you're practically feeling it in your car, in your body.
Yeah, well, the bolts of the cars are vibrating these days with all those sub bases they're in. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing on the radio. I agree with you. But we're it's forced upon us when the music, people are playing their music and blasting this crazy lyrics and all of that. But yeah, there's a science to everything, and there's nothing that those who run the system, that they do by chance. Everything, like you said, is planned 100, 200 years in advance. And we just go along with our lives and have no idea. And what happens? It's a setup. The beings end up back in the same reality. It's like you're stuck in this wheel, and you end up back here again and again and again and again. I mean, it's just a lot going on here.
It is, and it's even music-wise, fashion-wise, all these industries that are out there for us, entertainment-wise, they tend to cycle over. And now, obviously, for a while now, we've been back in the 80s again. It's just we're getting echoes of the same thing, the same MO. It doesn't really, in that sense, evolve either. No, it doesn't change. It's very, it's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they shape people's lives. That's what we need to understand.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're shaping people's lives. And even people who say, oh, well, no, it doesn't affect me. But then, you know, they're in church, not even in a progressive church either, but just a church that just has one basic set of concepts that they end up operating by. So you know, it's like people have to examine how limited their thought process is, because if your perception base is extremely limited and you confine yourself to one set of concepts and ideas as to how reality functions, you bet you need to understand that you're influenced very big time by the system, because the system does not encourage people to step outside of a particular structure or way of thought. So many, most people are influenced, their belief systems are completely influenced in one way or another, whether it be New Age movement, everything is infiltrated. It's all infiltrated.
I mean, exactly. It's dogmatic and religious, all of these things as well. And I mean, just imagine as a young person, you're trying to figure out the world, what is in, what you know, you want to be liked, what's going on, you try to fit in, you're trying to make it into a world which is maybe from your perspective very, very difficult to decode or understand in that sense. And all the companies, everything monetary price on those basic drives, of course, of trying to get into the in crowd in that sense. But then, as you say, Sonia, there is another energetic level on top of this as well, which is much more, it makes it even more sinister. There's layers upon layers in all of this.
Oh, God, it's so many layers. It's just layers upon layers of this stuff. And the more you get it, the more you see is the more you realize how much you don't get it.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
No, it's a lot. It's just really big. But to not ask questions is the limitation right there. It's not a matter of trying to figure out the ultimate, because I don't think there's ever going to be any ultimate figuring out. I think what we can do and what we're aiming to do is to evolve ourselves from this limited concept of reality into something more expansive. I think that's really at least my objective. It's not a matter of escaping, as I always say, or trying to reach this final destination, because there is none. This is just this an endless existence. It just depends on where our focus is at the moment, and right now our focus appears to be on a similar concept of reality. You know, evolving from that, and what we've been speaking about this so far is really a suppression of the vibration of people's vibration, and a suppression of people's life force, and a declining and the vampiring of people's life force. But we can't just completely blame the system. This is not really a blame situation. When I talk about it, I speak about these things, you know, and hopefully it might trigger somebody who's in that space to be triggered into something more, into asking profound questions, asking crazy, wacky questions. To me, it's the outrageous questions that really bring about a deeper understanding, not the safe questions.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You have in your one of your articles there, you have a good paragraph or sentence that we just want to read out. And you say, when people have been programmed to be compliant, the decision-making process in their lives are easily transferred to the overseers. Humanity has been trained to take orders, and this includes even those that lead. And I think that last thing is an important aspect as well, because people can look at royalty, they can look at politicians, they can look at high up business people, but those people, to me, in some regards, in some aspects, seems to be the most controlled, or they are the most managed, even like the stars that we spoke of earlier, that they are hyper managed, because there are in positions of mass influence, meaning they have to be really controlled, otherwise it might go wrong pretty quick, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's no different than the plantation scenario. It's, you know, it's the same thing. You've got the different degrees then of slavery. You've got, you know, those who are out picking cotton, and then you've got those that are, you know, out there managing those that are picking cotton, and then you've got those in the big house, you know, who are managing those that are managing those picking cotton.
Yep.
And so on and so forth.
The hierarchy, yeah.
Exactly, but nobody really necessarily escapes it. Now, you know, we can look at, well, who are those that are at the ultimate top in this third dimensional reality, meaning the flesh and blood aspect? You know, what do they report to? You know, what's that about? I mean, so then, you know, you look at this multi-tiered existence, and so there's always a handful. It narrows as you go up. It narrows. So there's a handful at the top, and the mass amount of those who will remain asleep and unaware support the entire pyramid, the entire structure.
That's right.
That's where the fuel comes from.
It's an easy game, perhaps, from their point of view. Now, in your view, is there anything indicating that this is about... Because when I see... Again, this is we're just kind of speculating, of course, when it comes to how potentially some of these individual stars, et cetera, are taken out, possibly for the benefit of making a little bit of extra money and kind of leave way for the next one. But in all the things that are happening right now and all the madness that we're currently in, is that, in your view, any indication of that this hierarchy, this structure, the matrix, if you will, then is kind of decomposing a bit, or is it getting stronger? What do you see from your point of view?
Oh, man. I know that we do want to see that it is changing, and the question is changing to what?
That's right. Well, it's very important. Very important.
Well, it's like changing to what? I think that, one, let me say that in the end, this is going to come down to the individual. I think that's always my topic, my statement that I always like to make. In the end, this is about the individual, the choice that the individual makes. However, in the overall picture, in the bigger picture, in the group picture, in terms of humanity, when things will probably change, but this is such a cleverly operating system or reality that we might view things as maybe improved, but are they really? Because it's very easy to switch our minds on and off and direct them to specific ways of thinking. And a prime example of that is with technology, things that are supposed to simplify our lives, we get very drawn to that. But at the same time, it takes away from us as well. It takes away from our communication skills because, you know, people are texting and doing all of this technology stuff so much that it's taking away from that aspect. What does it do to the brain? Well, if computers are doing most of the thinking for us with so many things, what is it doing to the brain? What is it doing to the brain when you no longer have to really stop and in your mind calculate or figure things out because, you know, we use a calculator more than anything else. And all of those things. So on one hand, we see that we're making major progress in technology. But on the other hand, we can see, is there going to be some sort of decline as far as the masses, or some sort of tapering off where we sort of level off to a certain, what should I say, certain level then of brain, you know, what the brain allows us to see or what we access or the use of the brain, even though we use all of the brain. But you know what I mean? The brain filters what we will experience based on what we can accept, obviously, as a possibility. And so this structure in place could very well be doing that, where we feel that we're moved into a level of evolution. And, you know, I've written about that I think that there is a – I think that when you ride along on this group sort of evolution – I think that there is a timing set for how these planets or how we are evolving. There is like a timer, which is why we're so into the 2012 and all of that. So I think that there's like this automatic structure in place that moves us along on the various levels of evolution. It's like, okay, this is where we're going to go. Well, now we're moving into the age of technology. Okay, then 100 years from now, we'll move into something else. So I think there's this automatic timer, this automatic system in place that's moving us. So we might very well see it as, you know, major progress without recognizing, wait a second, as an individual, is it possible for me to exceed that automated system that says you evolve within this structure, not beyond that, not before you know, not beyond the group, but you evolve within this restricted structure. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to see that because it's so gradual. We don't see that. So if reality is becoming something else, another level of limitation, we might very well not see it. Does that make sense? We might very well not know that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of, well, does that mean too that we're, because the question is obviously what drives these things. I have heard people even who are in the transhumanist field and also are looking to science and technology as a savior, you know, of mankind's problem, that these are still systems driven by the natural systems, if you will, that we're already in a structure and therefore nothing. We're in the experiment. We're in the petri dish, if I put it that way. Meaning, mm-hmm. whatever we do, whatever we put our hands on, is going to reflect this very same system. So in that sense, nothing is unnatural. In the same way, some people have said that even the cell phone you might hold in your hand or the computer you're in front of is still it's put together by all the natural elements that we had here on the planet to begin with. Therefore,
right.
it's natural, right? What's your take on that?
Right. I think I see what you're saying. Okay, you're saying that nothing really necessarily changes to the magnitude that we think, but it's according to what the next level of evolution is supposed to be, for example,
right.
technology that
right.
we're speaking of. I think so. I think that it's where our focus gets directed to and how our perception is managed. And so we our perception is shifted to see things a certain way, and that's how we end up seeing it. So that's what it boils down to, is perception. So we can see it as amazing evolution, and of course technology is coming into, you know, this whole transhumanism thing, integrating man and machine. Because that's just another aspect that's coming in. Now, right now, many people might go, oh no, that, you know, I don't want to do that. But gradualism, in 10 or 20 years or 50 years from now, that will be so okay with everyone. Because it's so gradually done, and it's done in a way where we are able to accept these things, and it becomes part of our perception base, and so we're okay with it. But I think that all of this, what I'm talking about, I think there's a base orchestration, there's a base wheel, then a mm-hmm. base a concept as to. When we go through these levels of evolution, there's a cycle. There's another matrix. I mean, there's a more massive matrix within which all of this is taking place. You know, you can say the universe is all part of it. And we tend to see the universe as some sort of ultimate design. And I don't see that. I see the concept of the universe. I see everything as a concept. And I see the universe is just another conceptual system that functions a certain way, energetically functions a certain way to accommodate certain kinds of experiences. So I see that there is much more way beyond our concept of what a universe is or what, you know, the planet is. So I think we're in this giant experience that our minds are locked into, and we can't, it's very hard, even scientists, it's very hard for us to see anything that sort of goes outside of whatever the programmed norm is. You know, even those that are a little bit more expansive, there is still some sort of boundary or some sort of rooftop that they have on how far they will expand the possibilities until that evolutionary period starts to show up for the mind to begin to stretch into that level. So this is where the orchestration comes in, because we're networked into, we're wired into this gigantic automated energetically moving structure. So, you know, we're completely wired into it. And this is where, you know, we get tied into astrology and all of that and the movements of the planets, because this is this giant system that's functioning on this automated process. And we think that that is the ultimate end all. Well, you know, well, the universe is, you know, moving in this particular way, or my planet, I'm born onto this planet. Well, yeah, all of that is true when we are operating within the confines of how this system, this gigantic system, is to function. But is there a possibility to go beyond that? That is the question I ask. It's no longer a question to me. I know that. I know totally that you can. And that's why in the article I did write that individualized evolution is like an override to the system. Mm-hmm. Very few will do that. Very few people, beings, will override that. Because why? We don't get that individuals, each one of us, represents the whole. So with the New Age thinking, which we've talked about before, we have this concept that it has to be this group evolution. But what we are is so illusionary that we don't recognize that if you somehow broke through these barriers, this illusionary structure, that you would still represent the whole. Wherever you end up and whatever you create, you still represent the whole. It doesn't mean that we're separated. We're just moving into a whole other perception of reality, because all that exists was is an ocean of potentials. Everything and everything that we could think of and not think of is a possibility and exists. So we're just basically allowing ourselves to step into a possibility that already does exist. So you're not confined to this automated structure of what we define as evolution. And I sure hope I made sense.
Absolutely. I think it's unless then we're talking about those people who are trained into a certain set of the belief system. Because again, if we are in a world, in a system, as you say, and people can even imagine it as a computerized model that's running, you set a certain parameters within there, and those are the rules and the confinements. If we are part of such a system, a holographic, we can call it whatever we want in that sense, and if that system responds to our belief about the system, that makes it really interesting, because then everything is belief driven, and the question is how powerful that is, and again, mm-hmm. if the only override buttons of sorts we have to this then is to overcome that belief.
Well, right. Absolutely, Heinrich. That's why the group mind thinking. But that's the reason why it's necessary for the group to think the same thing. This is exactly what I'm saying. But so the majority on the planet think the same way. It doesn't matter that we have these various religions that we belong to. There are some base conditions by which most of the people on the planet hold as a truth. And that's what makes the difference as to why collectively we may be experiencing or think we're experiencing the same concept, the same idea of reality, is because the majority is wired with that base, with a base perception, a base kind of thinking. And that's all you need. That's all that is needed, is some base perceptions, especially in relationship to the laws of physics, and what the possibilities are for us as beings in these physical bodies. Those things are pretty base no matter where you are. We have base concepts of life and death. No matter where you go, the base concepts are that we're born, and you live your life and you die. So I'm just giving an example of some of the base acceptabilities that we have, and maybe that's all we need to be wired in to that particular way in which this system is designed to operate, unless you begin to step outside that. And so, yes, mm-hmm. that's the training, that's the programming that we pass on from one generation to the next generation.
If we, for a moment, talk about individual or the individual versus the masses, that's an intriguing question to me, or a problem. If you believe that we are individually are more powerful than the masses, because if their worldview, if you will, is influencing ours because we're part of the same system after all, then that makes things much more complicated. For a while, I've had this idea that maybe it's like a bottleneck almost as well, because we have a lot of people out there, a lot of wills, a lot of intentions, and they are on some level or another also clashing or colliding with each other. Hence, therefore, we might not have this very individual, quick manifestation happening because we have to really project our intention and our will to kind of pierce through that because there's just so much sludge out there, if it's true, Sonia, that the masses is affecting the individual. Do you think that's true?
I think so. I think that there's a level there where absolutely the masses are affecting the individual. But the only reason, see, the individual is only going to be affected according to the programs that we still hold in our subconscious that relates to, that connects with the programming mm-hmm. of the masses. That's what's making the difference in terms of how we, the individual, is being affected by the masses. Now, we function, what we call, we function here, and we're dealing in, you know, buying our food and working our jobs and so on and so forth. Well, those things are going to naturally keep us connected with how the system supposedly runs. And so then you are, yeah, in from that perspective, you are influenced then, or you're affected, I should say, by the choices that the masses make.
Right.
Then there's another level. Now, see, this is a level that those that are invested then in, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say the secret societies.
Right.
Invested in understanding more about the sciences or the science then of possibilities and the science of the human mind, the human being, the human body, that which goes beyond being human, they're working on those discoveries. But if we are not trying to break into those things on a profound level, then we will not tap into the magic and the possibilities that really exists that would allow us to exceed the influence of uh-huh. such things.
They have an upper hand, in other words.
Absolutely. They exactly. So I think the science, and I know most people say, well, yeah, but, you know, realistically, I've got to pay my bill. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. So most people don't have the time, the energy to invest in digging into themselves and saying, wait a second, if everything obviously is energy and science is discovering these various things and you start tying things that they're discovering with quantum physics and so on, you start to see that everything else that you believe in terms of what you think you have to do or how you have to live your life is really just part of this construct, this illusion. But what if I could exceed all of that? What if I allowed my brain to start to filter less and to allow me to be able to see more, do more? You know, activate more of what I am, I think then we're having to deal less with the influence of that world. But because we're still so woven into this world and its function, the financial function and the this and the that, and all of those things, we see where we have to have money. We have to do these things. That's what we think anyway.
Mm.
But money isn't even, it's not even a true thing. It's a psychological experience. So here we are, we're having to override the programming that we have, that our parents handed us, and society hands us, as to all the components that are essential to being, to existing and meeting the protocols of this reality. We've automatically think that, believe that, are programmed with that, that we can't exceed those things. This is how it functions. You have to work. You have to do this. But what if, since money is really a psychological experience and it really is about energy, it really is a current, what if I don't really have to do any of that? What if what I want, I truly can manifest somehow when I'm on this other level of understanding where my brain has stepped outside of this confined time and space. And I know I'm really going out there. Scientifically, when we look at what science is discovering, we can see that these possibilities exist. This is what those people that we keep talking about, the secret societies, this is what these people work at. This is what they aim to do, is to be magicians, be absolute magicians. We see it as a bad thing, but to be the magician is to simply be able to have a understanding about utilizing the cosmic technology, which is simply the shaping and shifting of energy.
It's a, in my view, in a way, true wealth and value is a, if you will, a spiritual component. And again, we have this idea of layers here, because now, of course, we're also on top of that in a debt-based monetary system that we're kind of experiencing. We're in a nightmare almost right now, obviously, pertaining to this specific system that is controlled, and I would say, by black magicians at this point, because mm-hmm. they create this mm-hmm. out of nothing, and it's a false value system that they've created. But again, we buy it. We go
Absolutely.
Ahead and we take it in, so to speak. Yeah.
There's the word there. Buy it. What do we buy the stuff with? I call it emotional dollars. Our emotions is what gets bought into it. This is what we engage, is our emotions. It's all this psychological feeling. It's a psychological game. They shift it up, they move it down. The economy is up, the economy is down. How do we respond emotionally? How is it jarring to us? We don't see it as, okay, how can I somehow regulate this for myself? That's not what we're shown. That's not what the media shows us. The media ensures that our minds are geared and directed in a way that is required by the system to confirm what they want us to believe about the economy one way or another. You have mass focus at that point, mass influence, mass focus in one concept of understanding as to what, you know, what the game players want you to believe. I think there's just, again, this is all science. And I think if we just start opening up our minds more and more, and not just to certain little things, and not just to be hung up on, oh, you know, well, the secret societies, they just want to control us. Okay, well, why? We have to open up our minds if we are to exceed this lower vibration that the psychological game confines us to. We have to open up those questions to be much bigger than simply getting high off of the conspiracy information.
Absolutely. We're going to take a little break right here. There's a few more things we should get to before that, though. Your website, first of all, is spiritinform.com, where people can find out more. You also have a documentary in the making, and we certainly can talk more in detail about that in the next segment if you wish. But let's go ahead and talk about some of the basics of the new film, The Business of Disease, Sonia.
Well, The Business of Disease is, I wrote an article a year, I don't know, 2 years ago, called The Marketing of Breast Cancer, The Pink Ribbon Agenda. And the response from people was so amazing. I had no idea that there were so many people who felt the way I did but didn't want to say anything. And so I decided, why not interview a few people to show more of this concept. Well, it turned out to be a lot bigger than I had planned. So now the film really not only does it express the business of disease from the impact of the pharmaceutical companies, but it's much more than that. It focuses on how the brain responds to marketing, how we respond to marketing, the science of the marketing process. It's incorporated quantum physics into this as well. We've incorporated a great many things in here, and ultimately, in the end, the film is wanting to show people what lies beyond the physical body, and that the body has an ability to heal under the right conditions. And we're also incorporating a cutting edge healing technologies that Western medicine or mainstream medicine does not embrace readily, because it's not going to be monetarily fitting for them. But the film is about self-reliance and awakening to the fact that there's something much more profound in us And that we're not just our bodies.
What's the website and the ETA on the release, by the way?
It's thebusinessofdisease.com. So it's real easy. It's thebusinessofdisease.com. And I thought the film would have been out this spring. Well, it got much bigger. And so not only did it get bigger, but I'm just blessed to have Patricia Sullivan Media Group, that is going to be editing and working on the film, creating the trailer, which takes it to a whole new level. She was one of the editors on Beyond the Da Vinci Code, and between her and her husband, Michael M. Sullivan, they've won five Academy Awards. These guys are phenomenal at what they do, and so she loved the project quite a bit. And so she's going to be working with me on actually putting the film together. So I'm not sure, it could be by the fall. Anyway, I just know it's going to be a quality film. So it's not going to, it didn't happen in the spring like I thought, only because they came aboard, she came aboard to do it. And so it's going to a much bigger level.
There you go. Bruce Lipton, obviously many other folks in there too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
uh-huh.
Great stuff. Dr. Thebusinessofdisease.com. That's the website for that. And then again, on the Spirit Inform.
And we're looking for donations too. Just let me make sure I throw that in.
Sure, go ahead.
Looking for anybody who wants to donate to support this film. I've gotten this far amazingly with this film, and you know it's. But anyway, I'm asking for anybody who wants to donate to this film, and of course you'll be able to see film excerpts when you decide that you want to donate to it. We'll show you some of the excerpts that have been shot, but most of the film has been shot already. It's just a matter of now putting it together.
All right, excellent. There's a trailer up there on the site right now as well.
Well, that's not a trailer. I should make sure I say that. Not a trailer.
Okay.
It was just something that was put together in the very beginning when just to give people some sort of an idea. But that's not the trailer. That doesn't show. It's what you call a promo. So it's not the trailer. The trailer is not has not yet been done.
Okay. I see. Well, it's good stuff anyway. What's there already? So if it's built on that, it's going to be really nice. So, okay. Well, Sonia, let's take a little break here. Then we'll carry on with more after this.
They do it over there, but we don't do it here.
Stay with us into Hour 2 as we discuss the automated matrix system and life beyond the programs of 2012. She says we are wired into certain protocols and regulations, and she tells us about frequency holes, unlocking the subconscious and being interdimensional within the game. The world is what is around you, what you know and your perception. It is who and what you interact with. For others, it is what's being told to them, yet it is not a true picture of the whole. Stay with us for more in the second hour in our members area. Subscribe, it's quick and easy. You'll get access to our full archives, access RSS feeds, stream from the website, or download to your media device or computer. RedIceCreations.com will give you more information. We'll continue with more fascinating radio with people like Stephen Bassett, Barbara Hand-Clough, Gerard Williams, Carl Munk, Paul Levy, Dean Clifford, James Gilliland, Larry Scranton, David Icke, Robert Schock, Håkan Blomqvist, Louise Turi, JJ and Desiree Hertak, and Mike Cross. Thank you for staying with us.